What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Reality Roundtable. I'm your host, Jonathan Brown, and today I got my guy, Miles Stone, with me today. What's up, Miles?
What's happening, man? What's going on?
And, you know, just chilling, man, just trying to, you know, get this content out to the people. First of all, man, like, who is Miles Stone?
Miles Stone, just a little walk through, you know what I'm saying, a little bit more of the history of it. I used to go by another name, trash name actually, but it was during a time frame where I was still learning, still growing. And yeah, from there, one day I was listening to some music one day, and I knew I had to make a change, and pretty much my whole presentation, my music, everything, Milestone just came to me. I looked it up. A definition of a milestone is it's two ones I remember. I know it's three definitions though. One is a significant time or place in history. The other one is the markers on the side of the road that keeps cars on the right side of the road. So that kind of goes into who I am as a person as well. Plus, you know what I'm saying? Like, I always refer to everything as adventures and trips and all that stuff. So I had a project called Trip. That's my first project I released as Milestone, actually. Mm-hmm. And my tour right now is called The Adventures of Milestone. So Milestone from there started from that. All that stuff stemmed from that. Milestone now is a brand. You know, I'm also known as the Kango Cowboy. You know what I'm saying? Like, people know me usually by my hats. They usually see my cowboy hats, which I got all of them in the car right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the house, so you know what I'm saying? I ain't wearing no hats around the house like that. You feel me? But yeah, like, it's just a brand now that's more so branded as, you know, country boy, you know what I'm saying? Country rap tunes, you know, horse riding, you know what I'm saying? Horse riding, you know what I'm saying? Southern representing, you know what I'm saying? Gentlemen, that's what a Milestone has become now. So more so a brand in conjunction with Family Market. So, yeah.
And you talk about your cowboy hats, and that's actually how we met at Revolt World. Because mm-hmm. I noticed your fit. I'm like, hey, man, like, I like your fit. And then we just started talking. Found out we're both from the Carolinas.
Yes, sir.
Also, you told me you did music, and you told me to check out your project, and I did. I checked out the project that you released this year. It was called Country Black Man.
Yes,
so
sir.
What was the basis of that project, man?
I made that whole entire project in a day in 2020. Now, I made it in a day. It took me a long time to release it just because of I'm very big on marketing, very big on rollouts and whatnot. So if I'm not able to be consistent, I'm not going to just release something just because, just to put something out there, throw something out there, and then it doesn't affect anything, doesn't get people tuned in like that. So the Country Black Man just is pretty much, you know what I'm saying, self-explanatory. A lot of things I do has deeper symbolic meanings and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? But that right there was just pretty much just cut and dry. Like, that's who I am. Now, I guess the deeper things is like the stories I'm telling is like real shit. Like, you know, so I'm talking about different things I went through. Like, I got a song called Mixed Emotions where I'm telling the story. I say Atlanta burned down the Wendy's when the black man was murdered. Like, that was when Atlanta, there was in Atlanta in 2020, there was a whole, there's unarmed killings a lot going on during that time frame. And a black man got killed at this Wendy's by police.
Yeah, Rayshard Brooks. Yep, I remember
Rayshard
that.
Brooks. So that was right down the street from where I was staying at in the time frame. So you know what I'm saying, that weekend they had, you know what I'm saying, protest the whole entire weekend. I walked up there, you know what I'm saying? So that was, mm-hmm. I was part of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I talked about that, you know what I'm saying, the same night we went twerking on cars trying to turn up. When I said that, that's real shit. So Street Execs, which is a label here in Atlanta, which I'm sure you know, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, you know what I'm saying? I'm just explaining for them. They had what's called a parking lot concert. So this is quarantine, so they ain't everybody able to actually, you know what I'm saying, pack out venues and shit. So they was throwing, like, you know what I'm saying, you had to pay pretty much to watch your favorite artist, like on some, you know what I'm saying, drive-in movie type shit. So mm-hmm. they had that set up. So some girls I know, you know what I'm saying, was posting videos of them twerking to whoever was performing that day. I forgot who, but yeah. You know, I'm just like, you know what I'm saying, it's just the duality of everything. So, like, country black man, the depthness of country black man's project is the different things I see, the different things I've been able to witness. Also, as well, just being a black man is already going. It's already so many. There's so much danger that comes with that, because you know, saying it's a being in danger because people see you as dangerous. It's the rarity of it. That's me in its entirety. But at the same time, it's still rare to be able to be a black man be country as well, because a lot of folks from the country, they don't get well represented, you know what I'm saying? We get looked at certain type of ways, especially with the way we talk, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times with the way we dress, you know what I'm saying? The presentations all the time isn't going to be a better presentation. So me being a rare breed is me being a country black man, me being able to, you know what I'm saying, speak myself, you know what I'm saying, talk my talk, speak my piece, and hold my own as a person. So that's the rarity of it. That's the depthness of it. And just different things I talk about in that as well. The first song is called Black Man, and I'm talking about a lot of different things in that. So Country Black Man just came from just a lot of my emotions I had during that time frame that I just bought up into this, you know, three-word saying. So.
And you talk about you recorded this whole thing in a day in 2020, but you didn't release until 2023. What does your creative process look like when it comes to making music?
So I also write songs for other people too. I don't you know what I'm saying? I get paid to do so. So really my creative process is it used to be like, let me take some time, smoke a blunt, think about it, boom. I don't smoke no more. And I just go. Like, I've been in a lot of different situations, especially this year, where I've had to literally make songs within 30 minutes, make song within 15 minutes, make song within 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Somebody expecting a song to be sent to them and recorded everything within 6 hours. It's happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know creative processes are different for everybody, but I have been in a lot of different positions where I can't take time. So I've gotten comfortable with being uncomfortable. I just make sure that, you know what I'm saying, I continue to sharpen my pen. That way I'm able to process things quicker, where my first thought is going to be my best thought instead of, you know what I'm saying, because I could always go back and I would critique some work I've done, but not all the time I'm going to be able to go back and correct something, because that happens sometimes. I don't have the resources sometimes to go back and correct something. I'll just work on a project with an engineer friend of mine who engineers for quite a few, you know what I'm saying, big people. You know what I'm saying? Well, signed artists. Let me not say big people, so signed artists. And like with the signed artists that she works with, I mean, that she's used to that. And she allowed me to be in on her project that she's dropping, worked on that. I can't go back and do none of that. She's not allowing nobody to do that either. You know what I'm saying? That's not the where she comes from. Like, I'm against it because, of course, I'm always about creating the best work, but even regardless of what I'm against, the rest of the industry ain't. You know what I'm saying? Just bottom line. So my process is pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? Just staying on my toes. Stay rapping. Stay in my head. Stay thinking with rhymes. You know what I'm saying? I get a good idea. I write it down somewhere. I can revisit it later. So that way it can just quicken the process even more whenever I'm recording. Whenever I'm, you know, having to get in the studio and make some on the spot.
Hey, man, that's what's up, though, man. And, maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, but you started doing music 10 years ago, right?
The industry. I started to really get in the industry 10 years ago. I've been rapping for almost 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I've been rapping for almost 20 years now, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I asked that because when I looked you up on YouTube, the first video that comes up is a song called Paradise, and it came out 10 years ago. So that's why I asked you that. And I pertaining to that, since that first song, Paradise, dropped, how have you evolved as an artist?
Okay, so there's an even older song. If you go back a little bit further, you might find a song called called This Evening. There's a music video for it out and everything. It actually is at like a 6-figure views and all that stuff. Like, I said Trip was my first project's milestone. No, so This Evening and Paradise is on a project called Blue Collar. So back in the day, my first project, you know what I'm saying? It was, it not necessarily back in the day, but just years ago, it seems so long ago. That Piff and Laugh mixtapes was like, you know what I'm saying, the go-to. Like, this is before streaming really got hot the way it was, or it got to be the main thing that people use to go process music. And I dropped a project called Blue Collar on both of those platforms. During that process, it was the beginning of trying to figure myself out. I was still in college during that time frame. And I was like, you know what? Like, I want to speak to the people. You know what I'm saying? I want something that's going to be, because at the time frame, that was me. You know what I'm saying? I was in college, but I was living life like, you know what I'm saying? Like everybody else was. Like, I wasn't of, you know what I'm saying, the community that college created, which is unfortunately a lot of times a false sense of reality. You know what I'm saying? I was out in the working world. You know what I'm saying? I was out here still having to pay bills, still having to do everything while being in school. You feel me? So, I had a job at 9 to 5, you know what I'm saying? I had one job, I was paid minimum wage, and you know, so I got another job where I was, you know what I'm saying, getting a little tad bit more, but you know what I'm saying, it was like living from check to check type shit. I like, you know what, this is stuff that, you know what I'm saying, I want to relate to. It's stuff I want to talk about. I want to talk about some real shit. Back then I was heavily influenced by Goody Mob, Outkast, Big Crit, Currency. And you know, those are still artists that, you know what I'm saying, to this day, I'm still influenced by, but like they ain't like my main influences at the moment. That kind of changes a lot depending on the type of mood I'm in, but I was figuring myself out. So Blue Collar is still out right now. It's probably, it should still be on that Piff and Live mixtapes. That was just a whole different time in life, you know what I'm saying? This evening is still to this day. Somebody sent me a video, a girl I know I went to school with sent a video of her playing the song, like literally just last week. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy you bring it up, that project, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to make music that is able to be revisited. And I feel like I've done a very good job of that, a very good job of making songs that can be revisited time and time again. People still want to go back and listen to my mm-hmm. shit, and that shit still hit the same. Like, yeah, and this ain't just me as an artist saying it because I'm biased by my shit. No, this is other people's shit. You know what I'm saying? There's people that still got my first project to this day. You know what I'm saying? They'll send me, I've got all types of random pictures of, you know what I'm saying, CDs I had from back in the day of people still having my shit.
Hey, you don't really get too much music like that no more. But you speak about being influenced by Currency, and this is actually going to tie into my next question. But you know he was at Revolt, right?
I know. Yep. Him and Larry Jones was there. Yes, sir.
Did you meet him?
Didn't get a chance to run into Currency, unfortunately. I was running around so much, mm-hmm. networking in other different places. I didn't get a chance to really like meet a whole bunch of the celebrities that was there, you know what I'm saying? Or the artists that was there. That are people that I do fuck with, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I did want to go to the Juvenile Drink Champs, but that line was too long, and I didn't even get even a chance to, you know what I'm saying? It was already packed out by the time I even got to the front, so it is what it is. But no, like, I was moving around so much, man, I didn't get a chance to see him, unfortunately, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, shout out to Currency to this day, man. Like, he, to me, is like the model, the ideal position of where I want to be, you know what I'm saying? The idea of where I want to be as an artist as I continue to matriculate through this shit.
I ask you that because the day I met you, like right after we walked in, like right after we kind of separated, I mm-hmm. actually dapped up Currency, didn't even know it, man.
That's crazy. That's hard, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah, hard, like, I just saw people dapping them up. I'm like, and I just stuck my hand out, you know, we just dapped up. I'm like, all right, cool then. Didn't even know who he was. But
Currency is, yeah, he's one of them guys, man. Like, he just knew, like, shout out to New Orleans. New Orleans has just been a very big influence on my life. New Orleans and Memphis have been some of my biggest influences music-wise, the artist, and also as well, the business model as far as New Orleans, like Cash Money, business model, you know what I'm saying? Like, the no limit. A business model, you know what I'm saying? I was a major Lil Wayne fan, you know what I'm saying, back in the day. And then Currency, you know what I'm saying? Currency definitely helped, you know what I'm saying? Helped me see a lot of different things and just the independent wave back then, you know what I'm saying? Just learning more about how he does deals, you know what I'm saying? How he's taking distribution deals and then just, you know what I'm saying, per project, you know what I'm saying? Having that leverage to do that and then being able to just, you know what I'm saying, use labels for just, you know what I'm saying, their audience, their distribution to put it out there on a, you know what I'm saying, on a certain scale. And then just, you know what I'm saying, like, a lot of times the money is already paid up front and then you just make money on the back end type shit. Like the business model is what I fuck with because it's like saying, look, man, we know what type of shit y'all on. We doing our own shit. And that's what type of time I'm on too. You feel me?
Yes, sir. And that actually does tie into my next question. Like, how was your Revolt experience, man?
It was great. I ain't gonna lie. It was great. I felt like there was a little bit more I could have done, but honestly, I feel like I was in the right places. So, you know what I'm saying? The first day of Revolt, got to see Juvenile. Like, never seen Juvenile live. I bring it up for a reason. We're going to revisit that in a second. Mm-hmm. Uncle Luke, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm from the era where, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the last bit of era of, you know what I'm saying, house parties and the last era of actually going to parties and you can actually get some twerk, you feel me? Like, I'm from, you know what I'm saying, for that last little bit of that, like, yeah, I'm from that. So it's like, when Uncle Luke came on, oh, you better go get you a girl? You better get your ass, nigga. You know what I'm saying? When Juvenile bet that ass up, come on, you better be there some ass, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You better go hop on something. Like, yeah, I'm from that time. So being able to see that live and, you know what I'm saying, those memories, because, I mean, shit ain't the same no more. Yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing to see, being able to see those artists I've never seen perform live, see them at once. So the first day was cool for that, you know what I'm saying? Met some people. I was with one of my homegirls, you know what I'm saying? So we were just, you know, to kick shit all night, you know what I'm saying? I was kind of being a watchful eye on her, you know what I'm saying? Make sure she was good, her friend. Then she had a friend to come with her, make sure her friend was good, you know what I'm saying? Both on females. I'm protective over my women. So the first day was cool. Second day, I had other motions to do. I also sell vintage clothes too. I don't know if you remember, tell you that, but I had a gig that day. So I got to do so McDonald's had this thing called Shoot Your Shot. Mm-hmm. And it was a competition, like, and I don't like competitions, but I just like shit for content reasons. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, cool. They got a freestyle booth set up. Okay, cool. I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna do my thing. They give you a minute. They gonna cut you off in a minute. So, okay, I got in there, did my things, you know what I'm saying? I got in line, did my shit, you know what I'm saying? Now, mind you, there's a big-ass DJ booth right outside, you know what I'm saying? So you can hear that shit through your headphones while you're still rapping. So you got to really be tuned in. You got to be tapped in to really motherfucking really be able to deliver. Otherwise, you'll fuck up. And you can't just redo it. And I let you redo it now. So you got to do all that. Mind you, I did my shit a cappella. I didn't do no shit with no beat. So, and the headphones was going out. And you, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'm sure you've been in the studios before, like, you know what I'm saying? Or if it's a shortage of some headphones, you know it, right? Because, I mean, the headphones going in and out, right? So it was going in and out, but it was going in and out on a sense of it seemed like it wasn't recording everything I was saying. So I was like, oh, this shit kind of seems a little suspect. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I mean, I didn't fuck up, though. I still did my thing. I told the girl that was that brought me, I told her, hey, record me on my phone. So she recorded me. I got that content. Yeah, record me. While I'm in the booth, you got my phone, record me. You ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Record me right now. So regardless of whether or not I'd rather see their footage, because they couldn't tell me where the footage was going to be at. Because they had a camera right there in front of your face in the booth. But they said they couldn't tell us where the camera was, where the footage was going. Neither here or there. So I was like, okay, cool. I know I've been through this before. Let me go ahead and get this footage, get out the way. So I did that, had to go to the gig. I didn't go back because honestly, that night, that was the Saucy Man Montana and, you know, the girl night. Wasn't really interested in all that. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't my vibe. So I didn't go back that night. Then the last day, you know, did some more networking, met some more people. also met some people. I met some people here that I'm actually doing some work with now. There's a platform called Cost Rip Magazine, and because I mean the gaming community was big in there, and like, you know what I'm saying, it was a big realization of just like pretty much what I already knew, which is like I need to concentrate on the gaming and the cosplay world. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of those people are, you know what I'm saying, my supporters, and they just genuine people. So they rock with you, they rock with you. And that's, and those are, you know what I'm saying, supporters. Those are fans, you know what I'm saying? Those are folks who are gonna continue to, you know what I'm saying, check in with you, tap in with you, see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? You, they know you, they know you. They fuck with you, they fuck with you. They rock with you, they rock with you. As long as you just be a good person, they're gonna rock with you. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna stay down with you. So I fuck with that. So Revolt World was big on that. You know what I'm saying? I'm fast forward. I know I'm talking a lot. The last day, I actually I went to this one conference with some homies I just met that day. It was like this session, some guy, forgot his name, you know what I'm saying, but he actually has written songs for Beyonce, Megan Thee Stallion, a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, who are signed artists, major artists. So, but I forgot his name right now at the moment, off the top of my head, but they had like this thing where like this, the host was like asking folks to come up the, you know, some to the stage and freestyle. Mm-hmm. So I was hesitant to do it, but then the folks there with me, they was like, hey man, go up there and do it. I was like, all right, for sure. So I went up there. So remember I told you about the Juvenile, right? First time y'all get to see Juvenile. So full circle, here's a Juvenile beat that comes on. So they play Juvenile, huh? The instrumental. Mm-hmm. So I rap on that, you know what I'm saying? Kill it, get the response I get. And yeah, man, I'm able to say I performed the Revolt World. Like I was on stage, Revolt World sign right behind me. I'm able to put on my EPK, my music resume. Hey, I perform the Revolt World. You know what I'm saying? So talk to me nice. You know what I'm saying? Pay my price. You did.
Yes, sir. I rock with it, man. Also, you talk about the whole networking thing. And mind you, like, I had run to Revolt last year, too. And okay. Yeah, I left a lot on the table. I didn't really network like I was supposed to. But I felt like I did what I needed to do this year. Don't get me wrong. There was always more people you could talk to, but I think I made some good connections for people who I can collaborate with in the future, though. So that's happy. Yeah, I'm happy with my experience at Revolt. But sure. But you talked about networking, and you just recently went to, what was it, the Chattanooga Hip Hop Summit.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, talk about your experience there.
This is the best weekend I had this year. So day one, Friday when I was there, I couldn't make it because they actually started Wednesday. So, but I had some things to do. But Friday I got there, they had a masterclass. DJ Chuck T. He works with the Charlotte Hornets out in Charlotte, and he also as well does a lot of different events for the independent artists. And, you know what I'm saying, he even does some stuff for sign artists as well out there. You know what I'm saying? He's just a plug. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, he's like the most known DJ, you know what I'm saying, in North Carolina outside of DJ Issa, you know what I'm saying, who's 2 Chainz DJ. And then, you know what I'm saying, after that, because that was a pretty long class, but learned a lot, you know what I'm saying? He gave us a whole book of the presentation that he gave, like a lot of things about the music business. A lot of good tidbits, and so that was very interactive. And then after that, I had to go set up. So I set up to sell my clothes at this Dame Dash event. So Dame Dash was a speaker at this event in Chattanooga. You know, it was just pretty much just telling his story, this and the third. And then he had a meet and greet afterwards, you know what I'm saying? So I sold some clothes, and then, you know what I'm saying, I kind of jumped line because my sister, she came with me and she was in line. So I jumped line. Yeah. You know, it was like I was with her. You know what I'm saying? Because I had to go back to my table. I'm like, I'm not finna stay in this long as line. Like, you know what I'm saying? Fuck all that. So I jumped in front of her, got my picture, got right back to the table. You feel me? So, you know what I'm saying? The picture, a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? Pictures to people out on the outside looking in mean a lot. Oh, you took a picture with Dave Dash. Oh, where were you at? Just at the third, like shit like that. So, you know, did that shit just for the, you know what I'm saying, just for the fact that, I mean, I fuck with Dame Dash, but it's like, you know what I'm saying, also as well, the social media shit plays tricks on people, so you know, I just know the game. And the next day, no, my bad,
No, that night, there's a guy who's like real prominent in the Chattanooga scene. He's an activist. He did a lot of different things, you know what I'm saying, for in that community. His name is C. Grimey. Shout out to him. He had a event. It was actually open mic. Now, I wanted to do it just because I just wanted to just be able to, for him to see me perform, because Chattanooga, you know what I'm saying, like, they are very, very personable. Like, they are very, very good people. And I just want to be able to, you know, say branch out more out there. I've been wanting to do that. I've been going to Chattanooga since 2001. Not 2001, my bad. 2021, I've been going there since 2021. And since then, like, I wanted to, you know, be able to perform. So, yeah, 2 years later, here I am, finally be able to rock a stage. And so that's later on that night, because I rocked the stage, you know what I'm saying? Like, stand ovation. First time I had a stand ovation outside of Georgia. Dame Dash and his artists come by later on that night. This is like 2 o'clock in the morning type shit. I was still there, still networking and shit, meeting folks. Because a lot of folks was really fucked with my performance. Like, I really gained some real, real hardcore fans that night. And you know what I'm saying? He spoke a little bit on stage too. He told, like, I was finna leave. The guy who organized the event, he told me, stay, just stay, bro. I was like, okay, cool. So he gonna say he calls up five artists to, you know what I'm saying, I guess give the prize to. I'm one of the artists, of course, and yeah, long story short, guess who won the competition?
You.
So the competition was worth a prize money. Mm-hmm. The guy gave the money to Dame Dash for Dame Dash to hand the money to the actual winner. So I got to take a picture with Dame Dash, meet Dame Dash, and then Dame Dash handed me some money the same day. Can't ask for shit. Hey. Can't ask for too much better than that. You know what I'm saying? So that was dope. Second day, I also met Matt Hoffa that night too. So anybody who's into battle rap, you know what I'm saying? Because I know him from battle rap. He has a podcast called My Expert Opinion, for those who don't know, who's watching right now. They, you know, it's a big podcast, one of the biggest independent podcasts out there. But he was a battle rapper at first. He was a big battle rapper at first. And, you know, so I've been listening to him for years. So I got to meet him that night. And then the next day, so they had a Chattanooga Hip Hop Summit vendor market. And so I had my clothes set up there. He comes check out the vendor market. He see, you know what I'm saying? I come and dap him up, you know what I'm saying? Because he remembered me from the night before. I had on this fire-ass polo shirt that I wore. So he remembered that. And so he seen me have another fit. Because I always, man, I put that shit on, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie, I put that shit on. You feel me? So that's that. But like, a nigga, he remembered me, you know what I'm saying? I told him, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, that's what I do. I mean, I sell drip, you feel me? So he seen who I had. He motherfucking, he cleaned house on my shit, bro. He came and dropped a bag on my shit, bro. So it's like, to be able to say that the two artists, the two moguls I was looking forward to see or meet in some capacity at the Chattanooga Hip Hop Summit, not only did I meet them, they also gave me money, bro. They helped me pay my bills, nigga. Like, nigga.
Bro.
That's why I said best weekend this year. Best weekend this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't about nobody else, but I don't know anybody else who can be able to say that. Not independence.
And you know what, man? Like, your experience from that summit, it really just coincides with what I talked about in one of my previous episodes, which was, like, just taking a chance on yourself, man, because you never know what could happen. I mean, like, when you do things like that, like, the worst thing that could really happen is you really just stay in the same position in life. You don't know what could happen. You don't know what could happen and what positive could come from it. So I am glad that you did that, though, man.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I'm so am I, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I took a chance when I started to sell clothes, because, man, going out selling vintage clothes, there was a point in time frame where, you know what I'm saying, as an independent artist, you know what I'm saying, I didn't have a job and trying to figure shit out. And my back was against the wall one day. I said, fuck it. I went ahead and made a website for my shit. And I started taking pictures of my clothes. Mm-hmm. I started doing pop-up shops in different places. yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, things just happen. Like, I take chances. Even now, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a little small little drought before that shit. You know what I'm saying? Small drought of just, like, different things that were going to bring me money. Always something to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just rapping at this Spotify event right before I went there. But, you know, a lot of things you do, you know what I'm saying? You're partnering up with brands. You're doing different stuff with different brands, big looks, major looks, but they don't pay. Like, you know, it is what it is. Like, you got to love this shit enough to understand that you're not going to get paid for everything. Sometimes it's not going to come with a check. Sometimes it's going to come with the fact that, you know, so you're gaining some experience and or, you know what I'm saying, you're getting a certain look that is going to, you know what I'm saying, mean more in the future to somebody who might want to take you seriously. So, yeah, I mean, but taking a chance is a lot of artists, you know what I'm saying, are afraid. A lot of people are afraid to step out and jump off that cliff, you know what I'm saying, and trust that, you know what I'm saying, you're going to parachute your damn self. A lot of folks is, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you might fall and bust your ass, but the good thing about it is that, you know what I'm saying, if it's not in the physical sense, you can get your ass the fuck back up again and, you know, fucking, you know what I'm saying, climb up that mountain and jump off that motherfucker again when you're ready.
Hey, I can rock with 100% of what you just said, man. We're going to revisit that, but...
Yeah, let's go.
But you talked about your project Trip earlier, man, that came out in 2018. Country Black Man came out this year. What would you say is the difference between those two projects?
The growth. Oh, man. Significant growth. Trip was fresh out of a hiatus I had. 2017, I lost everything. Had no job, had no money, had no nothing, no motion going on, right? Lost a lot of shit. Had to pretty much start over from scratch. Had to build back up. Very humbling experience. And yeah, man, like a nigga just had to just, you know what I'm saying, had to just go through some things. And so Trip was just a rebuild. Trip was definitely a huge part of me gaining a grasp on who I am as an artist, as a person. By the time Country Black Man got here, I gained that grasp. Is synonymous as fuck. It was starting to be synonymous then, but it became very synonymous. Very synonymous. Mm-hmm. You're a Country Black Man. Niggas know when they see this hat, they know it's me. If it's a music event in Atlanta and you see a cowboy hat, it is Milestone. You know it. And niggas know I've been doing this shit before Lil Nas X. Niggas know I've been doing this shit before, you know what I'm saying, L.A. Russell. You know what I'm saying? Before it was cool to do it, I got talked about. Shout out to Lil Nas X because Lil Nas X kind of made it, you know what I'm saying, more acceptable. You know what I'm saying? It was like, then I get asked questions. Oh, where you get them boots from? Oh, where you get that from? Like, yeah. You feel me? But before I put these motherfuckers on, you know what I'm saying, back in 2018, back in 2017, it wasn't getting a certain response. So 2017, August is when a lot of things happened. Took a year to get back right, but got back right. So this is the growth. The growth from there is when a lot of things happen. And just in growth musically, growth physically, growth emotionally, all that shit, man. That's the big difference.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I get what you're coming from with that, man. And to go back to taking a chance on yourself, you put together your own tour, man.
I did.
Yeah. What was that process like? And how did that come about?
Part of taking a chance, you can be an artist that, you know, Atlanta makes you very, very spoiled because there is so much motion. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are coming to Atlanta for Revolt. People are coming to Atlanta for this festival, that festival, this festival, that festival, this event, this person speaking. There are so many things that are happening in Atlanta. You don't necessarily have to leave Atlanta for shit just to look like you're doing shit. Mm-hmm. At least look like it. There are so many different platforms. And platforms that got their own motion. They got their own shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you don't never have to leave. But you could be a hamster on the wheel because you know what I'm saying? You might not ever see, you know what I'm saying, outside that your audience is not necessarily the people who are going to buy your merch, support your shit for real. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, because people are supporting your face all day. It's them folks who, when they get home, they think about your ass. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and that's not in Atlanta. A lot of times it's not in Atlanta. Unless you're making the same type of music that everybody else making. Unless you're making the trap shit. And even then, you have to have a certain influence, a certain amount of money to be able to have that. Now, R&B is definitely getting its props. So shout out to R&B. But a lot of times nowadays, even now, it's not even about trap. It's about the women. The women artists are the ones that's really, getting the shine, getting the real support right now. But ultimately, you know what I'm saying, it is the way of the industry. So wherever the industry goes, Atlanta's going to go, or it's already there and the rest of the world is catching up. So there's a lot of fair weather shit going on. It's too much distractions. In 2020, you know what I'm saying, I was in a relationship and I was dating an artist who didn't live in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? She was an hour away. And she, just having a conversation with her, and the one of the best things I got out of that situation was, you know what I'm saying, being able to see outside of the box, think outside the box a little bit more, to say, okay, you know what, let me focus on this other shit. Let me focus on what else is out here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So from there, I ended up utilizing resources I already had. So I already knew, you know what I'm saying, a couple of people from different places. And then some people introduced me to some other people. And I started to sell my clothes at first at these different places. I got booked first. The first outside experience was in Charlotte. So shout out to my homegirl, Reese Raps. She has a platform called Dope Events. It's in Charlotte, DOAP Events. Amazing platform, packed out shows. Like, she packs out events, I'm telling you. And like the first, one of her first events that she did, I was a performer there. And went out there, sold my clothes, made shit happen. You know what I'm saying? Everywhere I went, I sold my clothes. So a nigga just was able to just continue to keep doing that, go different places, sell my clothes, go different places, sell my clothes. You know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, I get a performance opportunity, but I built enough to where I was able to take that and make that something else, to where I'm able to now set up a tour. So South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, you know what I'm saying? Virginia. I hit up all these states during my tour.
Just performing music and selling clothes, huh?
Yes, sir.
Hey. Hey, man. I think a lot of artists can listen to this episode and maybe incorporate your blueprint and try to make it, you know, put their own little twist on it and try to make it their own.
Let me say this, it's about finding, because the main problem with me, the main reason why I didn't leave Atlanta like that is because, you know, so I knew that it wasn't going to make logical sense, economic sense, because a lot of time when people go out of town, what happens is you're spending money because you're buying food. You might, you know what I'm saying, go out somewhere, go get some drinks. You might, you're spending money, so you're losing money. Now you got to go back and go recoup, you know what I'm saying? Like, how am I able to go somewhere and still be able to make money? Boom, I sell clothes. You know what I'm saying? And merch is one of the main things as an artist that you can have. So if you have some dope merch, if you have a dope enough idea, you know what I'm saying? Whether it is clothes, whether it's weed, you know what I'm saying? If you want to take that chance, you know, travel around with the pack, you feel me? You know what I'm saying? If you're able to get plugged in the way you're able to motherfucking get off lows in different cities, if you're able to, you know what I'm saying, sell whatever you want to sell. Like, if you're a woman that, you know what I'm saying, you got a big ass OnlyFans, and you know what I'm saying, you might do a meet and greet somewhere where folks might able to, you know what I'm saying, like, meet up with you. You paid them a certain amount of money to, you know what I'm saying, for a meet and greet or whatever. Like, whatever you have that you're able to take, and wherever you go, regardless of where you go, either you have the residual income or fucking Amber Alert. Fucking Amber Alert. Anyway, if you're able to set up shop somewhere or have residual income, doing what you do, you know what I'm saying? Then that is a bridge that a lot of people don't have and are not able to find. Because to be able to make it make sense to travel and be an artist, it's taking a chance to find your audience, to find your crowd. And you'll be surprised at the different the differences between artists that are, for artists that understand, especially in Atlanta. I understand the difference between people that are just coming to shows, because some of these open mics be like a whole bunch of other artists for real, for real. You know what I'm saying? I don't even do open mics like that no more. You know what I'm saying? I really don't. I usually do a lot of like actual shows to get booked and shit. But you know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, I might, if I'm out of town, you know what I'm saying? So you got that going. If you're able to make it make sense, you're doing what a lot of other folks aren't. So that's the blueprint for real, for real. Making it make sense for whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you feel like is your brand, your bread and butter, making it make sense to set up shop somewhere, make it make some money, regardless of wherever the fuck you go. So my next step is figuring out how I can take my whole concoction, my whole setup, and condense it, or figure out how it can make it make the most sense to be able to travel further than the Southeast region. You know what I'm saying? So, because I mean, if I want to go to Cali and perform and set up shop, I know my shit will sell out, but I gotta make it make sense in regards to getting my shit there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know.
So, what can people expect next from you, man?
So Country Black Man dropped June 9th. The Chopped and Screwed version drops October 27th. So next week, y'all, next week, the 27th, you will be able to listen to the Chopped and Screwed version of the project I just dropped. It's an experience. It's a different type of experience. You know what I'm saying? Anybody who's from the South, they understand the importance of Chopped and Screwed. If you're not from the South, just tune in. Just tune in. So that's next. Finna by who is in Atlanta, I'm performing at Bonfire ATL. That's going to be coming up on the 22nd. So not this Sunday, but the next Sunday, I'll be there performing there. Depending on when this interview drop, you know what I'm saying? A little bit further out. My birthday is Halloween. So I'm doing an event. So for those who know Nappy Roots, Nappy Roots was a popular recording group back in the day. Songs like "Oh No, Hell No, Boy," y'all done up and done it. You know what I'm saying? If you know that, maybe you know "We're Gonna Have a Good Day." You know what I'm saying? With the kids singing in the background, you might know those two songs. You know what I'm saying? If you heard of them, they have a brewery out in Atlanta called Atlanta Tucky, because they're originally from Kentucky. So I've been building rapport with them, you know what I'm saying, over the years, and they allow me to do my event, hold my birthday celebration at their venue. So I'm doing a cosplay event. That's going to be a Halloween. It's free to get in for anybody who is able to come. Definitely come through. You know what I'm saying? I got a couple prizes. I got a couple surprises. And that's going to be the next couple things coming up. The next adventure, as far as tour date, you know what I'm saying? That's why I call my adventures, is going to be Athens. Athens is going to be the last closeout. I may have a date coming up in Charlotte towards the end of the year, too, but I know I have two Athens dates right now that I'll keep everybody in tune for. I don't have the flyers yet, so I'll keep y'all in touch with that. But Athens is the last closeout date for the tour. Athens is about an hour and a half away from Atlanta. So, yeah, that's going to be the next thing that's coming up for me. And this next project that I'm working on right now, because I actually got three projects already lined up, that's already backed up. This next project I'm finna drop is, when I mean to tell you, like, I don't think anybody will ever hear a country nigga rap like I'm rapping on this shit. And I ain't saying that just because it sounds good. I'm saying it because it's exactly what it is. Mm. Yeah, it's like that.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yes, sir. And yes, sir.
Also, where can people find your music, and also where can people find your clothes?
Okay, so my clothes can be found at familymarket.com. It's spelled a little differently. The reason why is because, see, if you spell family, you know what I'm saying, the original English version way, if you try to put that as a domain, it's so common that that will be in a domain you have to purchase for $1,000 a year. So if you got that type of money, you have at it. You know what I'm saying? You do your thing. But me, I switched the spelling up. So it's called FamileyMarket. FamileyMarket.com. That's the official website. You go up there, it's broken down into categories, so you can go and search and find something that you might want. You know what I'm saying? It's broken down by movies, cartoons, artists, legendary events, stuff like that. And it's also broken down by hoodies, jackets, tees, and shirts as well. You know what I'm saying? So anybody who's able to go to the website, hey, it's right there. You know what I'm saying? Everything you can buy, and I can ship it to you. You can find my music if you just type in Miles Stone. You know what I'm saying? See the typing right there? You see right there? Yeah, right there. See right there?
And that's for the people who's going to be viewing this on YouTube.
Straight up. You know what I'm saying? So it's Miles, M-I-L-E-S-S-T-O-N-E. With a space in between. You got to put a space in between that thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, got to put a space in between it. You'll be able to find it. You know what I'm saying? All streaming platforms. You know what I'm saying? Like, my account is verified on the streaming platform. So you definitely can find it. There's, you can find the music. And then you can find me on social media at I Am Miles Stone. So it's spelled the same way. It's just put an I and an am in front of that. And you can be able to find me there.
Well, all right, man. Hey, this has been a great episode, man. It's been a long time coming ever since we met at Revolt World, man. Yeah. I appreciate you for taking time, man, for coming on here.
Yes, sir.
And, this has been another episode of Reality Roundtable. I'm your host, Jonathan Brown. This is my guest, Milestone. Y'all go check out his music. Y'all go buy some merch from him. I'm definitely going to go cop some merch from him.
Much love.
Yes, sir. And y'all have a great day and stay tuned for the next episode.
Yeah.